It's good to see you in the house of the Lord tonight. If you're glad to be here, would you go ahead and say amen?
Amen.
What a meeting we have had this week. The Lord's been so good. We've heard some great preaching. We've heard some great singing. And we're looking forward to the same tonight. But we just want to thank you for being here. If you're visiting with us, again, you're our special guest. We thank you for choosing Calvary as your place to worship here on this Wednesday evening. Now, I know a lot of folks are at their church, as they should be. But for all of you that are here tonight, again, we thank you for being here. In a few moments, we'll have the Pine Valley Baptist Youth Choir, and we're so excited to be able to hear them tonight. And Brother Craig Edwards is in the house with us, and we're looking forward to the message. Pastor will say a little bit more about that. But I tell you what, let's start it off like this. Turn to page number 139. Choir, stand with me. Church, stand with me. And let's sing At Calvary. Page 139. Everyone sing now. Years I spend in vanity and pride. Amen. Thank you, church. You can be seated. You pray for the choir. We're going to sing one song, and then we're going to turn the youth choir over. We have Shiloh is going to come and follow the choir, and then we'll turn Pine Valley over. But we're excited to be here tonight. I know that you are as well, and excited to hear from them. But would you pray for the choir as we sing a song that says, Jesus is right on time.
Jesus, your friend's about to die, but tarried he still on behind. So they laid Lazarus in a tomb and said their last goodbye, but coming down the road was Jesus right on time.
And I want
There's honey in the rock, water in the stone, manna on the ground, no matter where I go. I don't need to worry now that I know everything I need you got. There's honey in the rock. Praying for a miracle, thirsty for the living well. Only you can satisfy. Sweetness at the mercy seat, now I've tasted. It's not hard to see. Only you can satisfy. There's honey in the rock. 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 Freedom where the spirit is. Bounty in the wilderness. You will always satisfy. There's honey in the rock, water in the stone, manna on the ground, no matter where I go. I don't need to worry now that I know everything I need you've got. There's honey in the rock, purpose in your plan, power in the blood, healing in your hands. Started flowing when you said it is done. Everything you did's enough. I keep looking, I keep finding, you keep giving. Keep providing, I have all that I need. You are all that I need. I keep praying, you keep moving. I keep praising, you keep proving. I have all that I need. You are all that I need. I keep looking, I keep finding. You keep giving, keep providing. I have all that I need. You are all that I need. I keep praying, you keep moving. I keep praising, you keep proving. I have all that I need. You are all that I need. I have all that I need. You are all that I need. There's honey in the rock, water in the stone, manna on the ground, no matter where I go. I don't need to worry now that I know everything I need you've got. There's honey in the rock, purpose in your plan, power in the blood, healing in your hands. Started flowing when you said it is done. Jesus, who you are is enough. There's honey in the rock. 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 Oh, how sweet it is to trust in you, Jesus. Oh, how sweet it is to trust in you, Jesus. Oh, how sweet it is to trust in you, Jesus.
Found the honey in the carcass. And you know, this world is a rotten place. There's death, there's decay, there's all kinds of things. There's carnality. There's this world is in a spiritual decline, it seems like. But I'm glad that you can still find and experience a little bit of God's honey along the way. What a blessing it is. There's honey in the rock tonight. And welcome everyone to our Jubilee on this Wednesday night, 2025. So good to see each and every one of you. And lovely weather outside this evening. And didn't know to ride, of course, with the windows down or bring the sleigh just in case. You don't ever know around here if it's going to snow or storm. But anyway, so good to be here tonight. Good to have Brother Craig Edwards with us and Mount Airy, North Carolina, a.k.a. Mayberry, if that's okay. And good old Andy Griffith stomping grounds up in there. But Brother Craig, he'll come around in just a little while and bring God's word to us. But it's also so very good to have Pine Valley Baptist Church Youth Choir with us. And Pastor Brother Nick Keller is the pastor over there. He's at his place tonight, his church ministering, of course. But he was so gracious to allow us to have you guys. And so we're so thankful to have you here with us tonight. I tell you what, if you guys would like, go ahead and make your way up here. And the youth director's coming. And you just give us what the Lord has put on your heart. And we are looking forward to hearing you tonight. Thank you so much.
Is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. And I just want to tell you that it tastes good around here tonight, okay? Yes, it's good to be in this place, and I like to go somewhere where we just automatically can relax and your spirit bear witness with our spirit, because it's all about his spirit up there. And we're glad to be here tonight. I want to tell you personally, I want to thank you for the cards that you've sent to our youth choir, and I've read each one to them, and we can tell by those cards that this place is a place of prayer. And we appreciate that. We appreciate your prayers. And we hope to be in a blessing and encouragement to you tonight. But above all, we hope to that he gets the glory. Oh, I'm sorry.
tell you what, it's a joy seeing young people serve the Lord, isn't it? What a blessing. Let's give another round of applause tonight. Good job, brother. Good job. I tell you, we need to lead our young people, don't we? We need to be here for them. And I love young people, love being there for them. And what a blessing it is to have them with us tonight. Thank you so much for coming. And all right, well, again, we have Pastor Craig Edwards with us tonight. Brother Craig, if you'd like to make your way on up and give us what God has.
It's a joy to be here tonight. I've been excited about this service. I've been excited about coming. And I've already been blessed. Every song was just a real blessing. And it's just been good already to be here tonight. I really appreciate the opportunity to share God's word with you. I haven't come to entertain. I couldn't if I wanted to, but I want to be a help, and I want to be a blessing to you. I have been praying and seeking God, asking the Lord what He would have me preach. I was not looking for a message. I wanted the message. And so tonight I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32. And we'll read verse number 26. A very familiar passage of Scripture. Genesis 32, verse 26. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." The word "he" in that verse is talking about the Lord, and he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." The first "he" was talking about the Lord. And the second "he" was talking about Jacob. If you could write a letter to God, and in your letter you could ask God for one thing, what would that one thing be? What would you ask God for? I'm glad we're not confined to a letter, and we're not restricted to just one request. But I want you to focus in on the burden of your heart. I want you to think about the greatest need that you have. If you could ask God for just one thing, what would you ask God for? I'm sure there are some tonight that would say, if I could ask God for just one thing, I would ask God to save my loved ones, to save my family. There could be somebody here tonight that has children that are lost. or parents that are lost, siblings that are lost, grandchildren that are lost. And if you could ask God for any one thing, you would ask God to save your family. There could be someone tonight that is dealing with physical issues. You're suffering physically. And if you could ask God for any one thing, you would ask God to touch your body and make you whole. There could be someone in the service tonight that is suffering emotionally. And I know that the pain you feel on the inside can be more severe than the pain you feel on the outside. Emotional suffering can be worse than physical suffering. There could be someone in the service that's battling or struggling with depression. And you say, "Preacher, if I could ask God for any one thing, I would ask God to allow the sun to shine in my heart one more time. To let the birds sing one more time." What would you ask God for? It could be tonight that you're seeking spiritual direction. And if you could ask God for anything, you would ask God for wisdom. There could be someone here tonight that would pray for power, pray for the touch of God on your life. What would you ask God for? In these verses, Jacob needed a blessing. Not only did Jacob need a blessing, he received his blessing. And for just a few moments, I'd like for us to think about some truths that were connected to Jacob receiving his blessing. And I pray the Lord would help us that we might receive our blessing. I want to talk to you for just a moment on the subject, "Lord, I need a blessing." Lord, I need a blessing. As I look at these verses of Scripture, one of the first things I notice is Jacob's desperation. When you come to Genesis chapter 32, Jacob is a desperate man. I believe Jacob is walking through the deepest and darkest valley he's ever experienced. Jacob is carrying the heaviest burden he's ever carried. There's no place to run, no one to turn to. Only a miracle can help Jacob now. He is a desperate man. There are two things that contributed to Jacob's desperation. If you look over in the first part of the chapter, in verse 7, the Bible says, then Jacob was greatly afraid. He was greatly afraid. And in the Hebrew, that means Jacob was greatly afraid. In these verses, Jacob is returning to the land of Canaan. He's been gone for over 20 years. He left when Esau, his brother, vowed to kill him. Esau said, I'm going to slay my brother. And Esau was a rugged man, a hairy man. Jacob, on the other hand, was a mama's boy. And when Esau vowed to kill Jacob, Jacob started running. And he didn't stop until he could sing, I'm 500 miles away from home. But after 20 years, God spoke to Jacob and said, Jacob, get all of your belongings together. Gather your family. It's time to go back home. It's time to go back to Bethel. And so Jacob begins the long journey home. As he approaches his homeland, he sends messengers before him. And they hadn't been gone long until they returned. And they said, Jacob, we met Esau. He's just down the road. And he's coming to see you. Then Jacob was greatly afraid. Not only was Jacob afraid, but in verse 24, the Bible said, and Jacob was left alone. He was not only afraid, he was alone. Can you imagine facing your greatest fear and having to do it alone? Imagine carrying the heaviest burden you've ever carried and having to carry that burden alone. To walk through that valley of darkness is bad enough. But it's worse when you have to walk through that valley alone. Jacob was a desperate man. He was desperate. A moment ago, I asked you the question. If you could ask God for any one thing, what would you ask God for? I don't know what your greatest need might be, and I don't know what your heaviest burden is. But I want to ask you tonight, how desperate are you? We want to see our loved ones saved, but we're not desperate enough. We want the power of God on our lives, but we're not desperate enough. We want God to touch our bodies, but we're not desperate enough. We want God to send revival, but we're not desperate enough. It was desperation that caused the children of Israel to cry out from the land of Egypt and beg God for deliverance. It was desperation that caused Rachel to say to Jacob, "Give me children or else I die." It was desperation that caused the prodigal son to leave the hog pen and say, "I will arise and I'll go to my father." Desperation. Jacob was a desperate man. And I'm here to serve notice tonight that the devil gets nervous when God's people get desperate. It was desperation that drove Hannah to the temple and pray and beg God for the son. It was desperation that caused Hannah to say, "Lord, if you'll give me a son, I'll give him back." You see, God didn't want Hannah to just have a baby. No, God was looking for a Samuel. When she said, "Lord, just give me a baby and I'll give him back," that's when God said, "We're getting somewhere." Desperation. Not only do I see Jacob's desperation, I see his determination. Notice the Bible said, there wrestled with him. There wrestled with him a man until the breaking of the day. And as you read the verses, it becomes clear that this was not just a man. It was a Christophany, or a manifestation of Jesus in the Old Testament. Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for he said, "I've seen God face to face." And Jacob was asking for a blessing. He was praying for a blessing. I heard about a little blind woman that was hospitalized. And one day, she heard a knock at the door, and in walked a Catholic priest. And he introduced himself, and he said, "I have come to bless you." And the little blind woman said, "Let me feel of your hands." And the priest didn't understand her request, but he walked up to the side of her bed and he placed his hands in front of her. And that little blind woman began to rub his hands. And she shook her head. And she said, "You can't bless me." You can't bless me. And the priest asked her, why? She said, the only one that can bless me has nail prints in his hands. Jacob is praying for a blessing. And as the day was breaking, the Lord said, let me go. And Jacob said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Jacob was determined. Jesus told about an unjust judge. And this judge regarded neither God nor man. And one day this judge felt a tug at his cloak, and he turned around, and there he saw a widow woman, and she cried, avenge me of mine adversaries. And the judge said, woman, what have I to do with you? I don't have time for you. I don't care about your adversaries. Just leave me alone. And as the judge walked away, he felt another tug. He turned around and there she was again. Avenge me of mine adversaries. The judge said, I've told you one time, I don't have time for you. I don't care about your problems. Just leave me alone. But Jesus said, that little widow woman followed that judge and she cried continually, avenge me of mine adversaries. Avenge me of mine adversaries. And finally, that judge stopped. And he said, all right, all right, I'm going to grant your request. He didn't do it because of compassion. He didn't do it out of concern. But Jesus said he did it because of her importunity. The word importunity means she refused to take no for an answer. Amen. Jacob was determined. How important is your special need to you? How bad do you want the touch of God on your life? How much do you want to see your loved one saved? How much do you need God's direction in your life? Is your burden, your need important enough that you're willing to lay hold of the horns of the altar and cry, I will not let thee go except thou bless me? Amen. Number three. There was a demand involved in Jacob receiving his blessing. Notice in verse 27, and he said unto him, what is thy name? What is thy name? The Lord is asking Jacob his name. Who are you? I want to ask you tonight, don't you think God knew his name? Sure he did. So why would the Lord ask him his name if he already knew his name? You think that perhaps the Lord was having a senior moment? I know who you are. I knew your daddy. I knew your grandpa. It's on the tip of my tongue. What did you say your name was? When you think about it, why would deity even ask questions? Adam, where art thou? Don't you think God knew where Adam was? In John 21, Jesus cried out to the disciples, "Children, have ye any meat?" He knew they didn't have any meat. As a matter of fact, he saw to it that not one little fish swam into their nets all night long. If Jesus knew the answer, why would he ask the question? My son is a pastor in Danville, Virginia. He's been at the same church for over 30 years. They started with about 6 people, and today they're running over 1,000. They've also planted 16 other sister churches all over the country. But when Brian was little, when he was younger, about 16 or 17. By the way, if you've ever wondered how old Lucifer was when he rebelled against God, he was about 17. One day I got a call from Brian's principal, and he told me who he was, and he said, "Mr. Edwards, I'd like to ask you, where is your son?" I said, "My son's in school." He said, "Your son didn't come to school today. Do you know where he was yesterday?" I said, "He was in school." He said, "Mr. Edwards, your son didn't come to school yesterday." He said, "Do you know where your son was day before yesterday?" And by this time I'm saying, "In school?" He said, "Mr. Edwards, your son has not been to school all week." We talked on for a few moments and we hung up. About 3:30, I went out to our front yard, and we had a swing in our front yard. So I sat down in that swing, and I was just a swinging. And it wasn't long before I saw that black Camaro pull into the driveway. Brian jumped out of the car and was going into the house, and I said, "Brian, come over here, have a seat. I want to talk to you." So Brian sat down beside me, and we were both just a-swinging. And we talked about stuff. We talked about sports, maybe, or how his car was doing. And then I just kind of slipped it in. "Brian, how was school today?" He said, "School was good today." I said, "How was school yesterday?" He said, "School was great yesterday." He said, "As a matter of fact, school's been great all week." And I said, "Brian, I know." And he was looking real serious and said, "You know what? Brian, your principal called today." I know. And Brian bowed his head and he said, "Daddy, if you knew, why were you asking all those questions?" I said, "Brian, I wanted to give you an opportunity to confess the truth. I said it would have been so much better if you had just told the truth as they were wrestling. The Lord said, 'What is thy name?'" This was not the first time Jacob had been asked this question. Nor was it the first time Jacob had asked for a blessing either. You remember Jacob went before his blind father Isaac. And he said, "Father, I've come for my blessing. Give me a blessing." And Isaac said, "Who are you? What is your name?" And Jacob said, "My name is Esau." And he lied about who he was. Once again, in Genesis 32, Jacob is crying out, "Give me a blessing. I want a blessing." And once again, he's asked the question, "Who are you? What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." The word Jacob means supplanter, conniver, manipulator. And when he said, "I'm Jacob," he knew that he was confessing to God, "I'm just a manipulator, a conniver. I'm a supplanter." how important is your blessing to you? Is it important enough that you would be willing to confess the truth about who you are? Lord, no more running, no more hiding, no more pretending. There was a demand connected to Jacob's blessing. Number four, and I'm done. There was a disguise connected to Jacob's blessing. In case you're wondering what Jacob's blessing was, in chapter 32 and verse 11, Jacob is praying a beautiful prayer. And in verse 11, he said, "Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children." Jacob's blessing was connected to deliverance from Esau. Finally, the moment Jacob had dreaded for over 20 years had finally arrived. Jacob found himself face to face with Esau. After Jacob had prayed for God to deliver him from the hand of Esau, he prayed a beautiful prayer. But then he went back to being Jacob. And he told one of his servants, "You take all of these animals and you present them as a gift from me." And Jacob said, "I will appease him with all of these animals." So Jacob was face to face with Esau. He bowed himself 7 times to the ground. And in that culture, that was a way of saying, "I did you wrong." And Jacob held out his neck, expecting to feel Esau's heel on the back of his neck, crushing his face into the hot, burning sand. But instead, Esau fell on his neck and he kissed him. And he forgave Jacob. And I imagine at that time, Jacob was thinking, "I'm sure glad I sent those animals. I knew they would work." And then Esau said, "Jacob, I don't want your animals. I've got animals of my own. I don't want them. I don't need them." That was God's way of letting Jacob know that his manipulating and conniving had nothing to do with it. That was God's way of letting Jacob know that it was him. Well, if those animals didn't appease Esau, why did Esau forgive him? He brought 400 men with him. He had an army with him. Esau meant business. Esau, without a doubt, was coming to kill Jacob. But something happened. Esau had a change of heart. And he forgave Jacob. What happened to Esau? If you go back and read these verses, in verse 25, the Bible said, "And when he saw, the Lord saw, that he prevailed not against him, Jacob, he, the Lord, touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint." If you keep reading, you'll find that the sinew in Jacob's thigh shrunk and it pulled his thigh out of joint. When you have a finger that gets out of joint or a shoulder, you experience excruciating pain. Can you imagine the pain that Jacob must have felt when his thigh went out of joint? God made a cripple out of Jacob. And from now on, Jacob's going to have to sing a song he's never sung before. Learning to lean. I'm learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. As Esau looked across the wilderness and he saw Jacob coming, dragging that leg, and Esau could tell Jacob's not pretending this time. He was in excruciating pain. And I believe God used Jacob's hip being out of joint to touch Esau's heart. And he forgave Jacob. By the way, Esau gained something too. Isaac told Esau, when you're in authority, when you're in control, you're going to break the yoke your brother has placed around your neck. For 20 years, Jacob controlled what Esau thought about. For over 20 years, Jacob had control what Esau felt. Jacob had placed a yoke around Esau's neck by doing him wrong. But now Esau has the upper hand. And he broke the yoke that Jacob had placed on him by forgiving Jacob. I could preach a sermon on that. You know, when Jacob was praying, "Lord, deliver me from the hand of my brother." I don't know how Jacob was expecting God to answer his prayer. I don't know. Maybe Jacob was expecting God to send angels. Or maybe Jacob was expecting God to give him the strength of a Samson. I don't know what Jacob was expecting God to do, but I'll tell you what God did. He touched the hollow of his thigh. His sinew shrank, pulling his hip out of joint. I don't know what your need is tonight. I've got a need. I need a blessing. And the Lord knows all about it. But I want to ask you tonight, are you willing to receive your blessing in God's way and not yours? Are you willing to receive your blessing on God's terms and not your own? In God's time and not in your time? Sometimes blessings come in disguise. One of the greatest songwriters outside of David was a woman by the name of Fanny Crosby. She wrote so many wonderful hymns, and we're still singing her songs today, even though she's been in heaven for many years. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Safe in the arms of Jesus. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on. When Fanny Crosby was a baby, she had an infection in her eyes. And so her father went to see a doctor. He was out making a house call But there was someone in the office that was taking care of things while he was gone. Fanny Crosby's father came, told him about his baby. He gave him some salve and told him to go home and rub it on his baby's eyes. He didn't know that the salve he gave Fanny Crosby's father was for large livestock animals. And when he put that salve on her eyes, it destroyed her optic nerve and she was totally blind. I've read her life story. And she went from place to place singing her songs, playing an accordion, sharing her testimony. And one of the first things she would say was, "I thank God that I am blind." She would say, "The next person I'll see will be Jesus." But she said it was through her blindness that God gave her her songs. She was visiting a prison with a pastor. The pastor preached and she had sung, and they were leaving the prison, and Fanny Crosby heard a faint cry, "Don't pass me by. Please don't pass me by." And Fanny Crosby stopped and she began to walk toward that voice. "Don't pass me by." She found herself by the cot of an inmate that was sick. He had heard the message. He wanted to be saved too, but he was not physically able to respond. She said when she went home that night, she kept hearing that faint voice cry, "Don't pass me by. Please don't pass me by." And she sat down and wrote the words, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by." And we're still being blessed because one night, a baby girl lost her eyesight. Sometimes blessings come in disguise. I want you to bow your heads with me, if you would, as we stand to our feet together. Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me. I want to ask you tonight, do you need a blessing? Is there a need in your life? Maybe your blessing is connected to a loved one. Maybe you have a personal need. There could be people here tonight that are battling giants in your life and no one knows about it but you and God. Lord, I need a blessing. In just a moment, I'm going to pray. And the pastor will come and close the service. But I wonder how many would meet me at the front. If you can't kneel, that's fine. Just stand down here at the front. And I want to pray with you about your need. I want to pray with you about your burden. George Whitefield used to say, if you don't weep for your own children, I'll weep for you. Lord, I need a blessing. As our brother just plays through a song, without hesitation, without delay, I wonder how many would meet me at the front right now. Lord, I need a blessing. God, I need a blessing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? Lord, I need a blessing. I want to pray with you. I can't meet your need, but I know someone that can. Anyone else, as we wait for just a moment, we're going to pray. Lord, I need a blessing. Our Father, as we bow in your presence tonight, Lord, you tell us in your word that you see each sparrow as it falls from the sky. And you remind us that we're more precious than the sparrow. So, Lord, if your eye is on the sparrow, I know that you're watching us. Lord, you know all about our burdens. You know all about our needs. I'm sure there are those gathered around this altar tonight on behalf of an unsaved loved one or a need of a loved one. Lord, people may be here tonight around this altar because of personal needs, whatever they are. Lord, I bring them to you tonight. And Lord, there's nothing wrong in any of our lives that a miracle wouldn't cure. I pray, dear God, for a miracle in the lives of each one that's come tonight because they need a blessing. We lift them before the throne. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Coming, I would like to ask you to pray for my wife, Linda. She had a brother that was badly burned this past Sunday, and the doctors didn't give him any hope. I received a message just before I came to church that her brother had passed away. And so pray for her and pray for her family. I know that they would appreciate it. God bless you, brother.
Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, with a grateful and thankful heart over the words that we've heard tonight. Lord, I need a blessing. Father, I know that those that responded this evening needs a blessing as well. So, Lord, we just commit, Lord, our way to you. We roll our burden upon you, Lord. Father, I pray that you'll just give everyone here strength and ability and mindset and stamina, Lord, to stay at it, to stay at it, not to faint or get weary and quit. Lord, we pray for Miss Linda. Brother Craig just mentioned in the passing of her brother. God, I pray that you would be with her during this time, Lord, be with her family, their family. Upcoming days, God, I just pray for peace beyond their understanding and just a great sense of your presence. And Father, I just want to thank you once again for the meeting tonight and how you met with us in a very intimate and special way. Thank you so very much, God. And thank you, Lord, for Pine Valley Baptist Church Youth Choir that came. We appreciate them and the young people, Lord, that is serving the Lord over there. Lord, I thank you for the young people that are serving the Lord here at Calvary, and I thank you, Lord, for our children's home as well. Father, give us adults spiritual inclination and ability and strength to keep moving forward, because we know that the young people, Lord, are just behind us. And Father, we'll thank you, we'll praise you for all things. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving. We'll have Deborah Perry and Jaden's Call with us singing, and Brother Mark Stroud will be preaching, and so that will conclude our meeting unless the Lord notifies other way. Other than that, but anyway, it's been a blessing being here tonight. And be safe on your way out. I think it's pretty bad weather out there. But nonetheless, we'll be dismissed in another word of prayer. Brother Wayne in the back, so good to see you tonight. You and Miss Patsy, would you close us out, brother?